Said mine, man, found his wife.
Good thing. That's a good thing.
Amen.
Thank God for a good wife.
Amen. Amen.
I ain't mad about it. Anybody mad that Jesus saved them?
No.
I didn't think so. Good to hear this. You know, you brought some of the missionaries when I was real sick in the hospital. Your pastor's such a good friend of mine. He came way out to the Jacksonville Beach to see me in the hospital. I was real sick, man. They didn't think I was going to make it, but God knew better.
Amen.
But he brought some of these certain missionaries, huh? Was you here with them?
No.
Was it Joseph?
Was Joseph.
Man, and I appreciate them. And I looked up on the table, and Brother Edward left. He was slipping some money on the table. I just appreciate that. We love this church. Brother Ed mentioned, we were talking on the phone, but I was telling him I didn't have a meeting. This is the only night this month that I didn't have a meeting. And he said, well, why don't you come preach for us? I said, well, I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try not to make a fool out of myself, but I do that a lot. But I appreciate y'all. What a crowd. You know, it's a blessing to see somebody on a storming Sunday night. I mean, it was raining out there. And somebody preached up a storm today. And I appreciate y'all coming out to church tonight. Did you preach up a storm this morning?
Well, I didn't think so.
one of them delayed reaction was. Y'all be showing your Bible to John 18. John 18. Thanks again for y'all. Y'all have been so nice to us. And what would we make a check out to if we went to some of these missionaries, my wife and I? Just to this church? Okay, we'll make something. You get that in your mind and make it, if you would. if you would, please, John 18.
Yes.
And I appreciate, again, my good wife being with me. He just said it. He that findeth a wife finds a good thing. Now turn to your wife and listen to her say amen. Last time I was here, I got in trouble because I had a spot on my tie. I made all kinds of trouble about that. John 18, 1 through 11. And I appreciate God's peace on the sermon.
Yes.
When you've been preaching for 42 years, you can preach just about anywhere in the book.
Sure.
But it's nice when God touches you with something that you know that He won't said.
Exactly right.
And I think we got God's will tonight.
Sure.
I still get nervous as I'll get out.
When
Jesus said, without me, he can do nothing,
right.
Boy, I tell you, I can't do nothing. I'm dumber than a box of rocks, and I really need God's help tonight. So y'all pray for me, if you would, while I try to give you something from the Word of God. When Jesus has spoken these words, from John 18, you can stand if you'd like. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Everybody ought to take a break, amen? Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. By the way, it didn't sneak up on him.
No.
Nobody came out and caught him in the dark.
No.
He knew what was going on. Just like when he fed the multitude. He knew what he was going to do. He led them up to the mountain. And he knew they were going to be hungry. And he knew you was going to be hungry. And he led you through the storm here tonight. And he'll feed you. He'll feed you if you're hungry. And he ain't broke. Jesus, therefore, in verse 4, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And we'll say that again. It was a rhetorical statement. He knew who they were looking for. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. Well, you know he's denoting his own deity there. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he said unto them, I am he. They went backwards and fell to the ground. What job would somebody want you to fall backwards on the ground all the time? I don't need anybody to slap me in the head and knock me on the ground. I can fall enough myself. But this was the devil's craft. Several times in the Bible it talks about people falling away backwards from God. It's a good study if you want to get into that sometime. But we'll go ahead another direction right now. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Thank God for that. Then Simon Peter. Now, this is where we're going to pick up our message tonight. If you'll let me have a few minutes, I won't try to be too long. I know it's raining outside and everything. I guess it is still raining. But he says, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Good night. How'd you like that one? The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. Now listen to this phrase. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Peter, these people didn't slip up on me. They didn't come up here and, you'll sit down if you want to, thank you. Lord, help me with this word, if you would, please. I can do nothing without you, but with you I have great strength. With you I do. As the song a while ago, I'm not the man I used to be, but he still tries to fight me. I pray tonight I can have liberty in the Holy Ghost. Lord, not that I can only have the utterance to speak, but you give the utterance to hear. Well, let's leave here tonight. We've already had a wonderful time worshiping you and hearing these wonderful stories about these precious missionaries, these girls wanting to serve the Lord. But Lord, tonight there's hungry people here. And Lord, we need some help. And I sure don't want to be in the way. Thank you for my good friend and pastor, Brother Edwards. Thank you so much for the years we've known each other and the friendship. Glorify your name, if you would. In Jesus' name, amen. This is about that thing there when he says, verse 11, when he says several things he says there I want to talk with you about. The title of the message, if I gave it a title, would be Too Quick to Defend. Now, the things that we ought to jump into and defend, our families, our country, etc., etc. Amen? What's right, and we ought to defend. What's wrong, we ought to defend against. But at this time, Jesus let Peter know, I don't need you defending me. It's like you're getting in the way. He said, it's a cup that I've been commanded to drink. I'm paraphrasing, but Jesus let him know, I just sweat. And you were with me just a little while back here when I went about a stone's throw away from you. He said, you were there, you were sleeping, and you probably didn't catch it, but the Father gave me a cup that I sweat blood in yielding to my Father's will to drink it. And I don't need you getting in my way right now, son. I love you. Hey, he loves you, Peter, but hey, I don't need you getting in my way right now. I got this. Peter says, I got this. I got. Jesus said, hey, I don't need your help right now.
Amen.
I could have called 12 legions. That's 72,000 angels. Hey, listen, one angel killed 185,000 people. One angel in one night. Can you imagine what 72,000 of them could have done? That song says, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy this world and set him free. He could have called, I just feel like singing a little bit now, 10,000 angels, but he died alone. for you and me. What a Savior. I don't, hey, you know something? I cut up with this a little bit, but I kind of see this. Put the sword up. Here's your ear back. I don't know if I do. What a great Savior. Put that sword up. Put it up. Here, put your ear back. I'm kind of getting that scene like that. You're back. Our Savior's. I think he has a sense of humor a little bit, but Peter was just too quick to jump out there. And Jesus had just sweat blood. If you look at the book of Luke, you'll see that part about putting the ear back on. He either touched him and healed it, or put a new one there, or picked that one up, put it on. I don't know. But he fixed it. Too quick to defend sometimes. We can jump out there thinking we're going to do something. And if God hasn't breathed on it, and if you didn't take some time to ask God about it, you'll cut somebody's ear off. How many times have we jumped? Y'all won't do something. I thought it would help tonight. I think it would help anybody if you'd listen. How many times have you? Think about that just a minute. Can I get a witness? So I'm getting kind of lonely. Is anybody ever? Have you ever jumped out there too quick with your mouth or something like that? Oh, Pete and Repeat. Pete and Repeat, they got him a job. And they got him a job. The job, all they had to do was guard the fence. They had to guard the fence. And nobody could sit on the fence or come over that fence. They had to deal with them. Oh, Repeat come out there one day out of the woods. He looked down there and somebody was on the fence. And it was Pete. And he shot him. But I got in court. The judge said to Repeat, he said, Repeat, did you shoot Pete in self-defense? He said, no, sir. I shot him in the rear end. He jumped defense. Hey, are y'all getting the point? Y'all. Am I all right with this? Make sure you know what you're doing before you jump out there.
Well,
how many times have we jumped out there? Uh-oh, husband and wife.
Come on,
I ain't going to say that. I ain't going to cause no problems. Well, your preacher said, I wouldn't get near that thing for $50,000. I think, come here to cut somebody's ear off. If I did, I'd cut somebody's ear off real quick. I didn't come here for that. It would be fun, though. No. Oh, King David. King David, look at his son. I mean, you got sons that you love. And I think Absalom, personally, I think Absalom was a lot more like David in many ways. And I think Absalom was David's favorite son. He was a lot like David, believe it. In some ways he wasn't, of course, but Absalom was chasing his father, wanting to kill him and steal his kingdom, taking his wives. I mean, Absalom was chasing and hounding, and he just stole the hearts of the people that was supposed to have been for David. Y'all with me? He stole the hearts of the people from the king, and the king had to run at night, weeping and crying, and everybody with him was leaving his castle and running in the dark, barefoot, didn't have time to put his shoes on, barefooted. His own sons after him. And while he's walking and weeping in the dark, barefooted, this nut named Shimei comes by and starts cussing at him, throwing rocks at him. You stole the kingdom. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Abishai and Joab was David's cousins. They were generals. Abishai, they liked to fight. Boy, they like me. They're like I was when I was 15. Until I got roughed up a couple times and got out of it. So anybody know what I'm talking about? Ain't nothing like a good old poof, stop your business. Abishai said, here's the guy cussing David, throwing rocks. And I told you all before, I think I did, if I'm going to pick a fight with David, it ain't going to be with rocks. You know, yeah, well, but you'll get the picture and think about it. But Abishai says, let me go over there and pick his head off. David would say, let me knock his block off for you. Listen to what David said, though. I'm talking about being too quick to jump on something. Am I all right with this? David said, look, David had been in some trouble himself about doing some things he shouldn't have done. And David said, God, I guess God sent him to cuss me out, you know. But I ain't got. Then he says, people, listen. David said, my son came out of my loins. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How much you love your son? My son wants to kill me. And you think I'm going to take time for this sport? Like with Jesus and Peter. Same principle. Peter, here's your ear back. Put the sword up. I just surrendered to my father to drink a cup. That cup was, of course, the wrath of God. I just surrendered to my father to do his will and to drink a certain cup. I came here. Listen, I just surrendered to the Father. And listen, and Jesus, now he's come because of the Father's will. He said, now I've come because of the Father's will. I've come to surrender to men to drink a cup. A cup that saved you from eternal hell. Jesus came to surrender his life to. He just surrendered to the Father to drink a filthy cup, and now he's come to man to surrender to man to get the job done. And Peter's going to jump, and Peter wants to pick fights. Peter likes to pick fights. He's done rebuked the Lord a couple of times about things. Jesus, I always said this, and I believe this. If Peter would have ever stubbed his toe, he'd have busted his lip too, because he always has his foot in his mouth. Thank you, Lord. Some thunder. The one old preacher said, I like thunder and lightning preaching, but I got so old. I'm old now. I realize the thunder gets their attention, but it's that lightning that gets the job done. Think about that a minute, as old Vance Havner. But I've been studying this thing and thinking about it, and sometimes we jump out there so quick. You know what Peter's problem was? Peter's problem wasn't that he had thought about it and prayed about it. Peter was just full of pride. He goes, "Oh, defending things is important. Can I get a witness?" But sometimes you can jump out there without leadership of the Lord or without any wisdom. Just. How many of us can see ourselves in Simon Peter? But you can get in a lot of trouble doing that. A young girl. Let me tell you this. Now, my wife will bear witness with this. We went to see Keith and Robin Caldwell out there in Texas. I was preaching out there for Brother Lindsay. Caleb Lindsay's daddy out there. We was preaching out there. We went to spend a week with some friends of ours in Houston. And while we was out there, we went to church with them that Sunday. I'd have a meeting, went to church that Sunday in between our other meetings. And the preacher told the strangest story I think I've ever heard. My wife nodded her head. It was a strange story. He said there was a little 11-year-old girl. She was out of school one day. And he didn't tell the whole story, and he didn't have to. But he said that little girl was out of school, and she got raped by some big teenage boys. And the little 11-year-old girl got pregnant. And he told that story, and people were coming to her. And even her parents, and everybody was coming to her. And they were quick to jump at things. They said, abortion, abortion, kill the baby. But even at 11 years old, that little girl, she knew better than that. And I'm going to tell you what the strangest thing about this whole thing. I didn't read this in the illustration book. I was there when the preacher said, I'm glad she didn't because I was that baby. We were sitting in the church, the preacher, and she was on the front row. His mother, who was just 11 years older than he was. They're ready to cut it off. You can't do that. You're too little. He said, I'm so glad she didn't. And he got quite excited about it. And I don't blame him. Can I get somebody tonight to understand a little bit about this stuff? If you don't watch it, you can jump out there. Now, I'll let the pastor do all the rough stuff y'all need. I'm just going to tell you something that'll help you, though. Peter got wounded and backslid because of it, too. Peter followed afar off after that. And then he went through all that stuff where he sat down with the world, warming his hands, when the Lord could have really used a friend. You know all the stories there. And when he finally got really convicted of that thing, and the Lord looked at him, and the Lord saw him, said he went out and he wept bitterness. That stuff leads to bitterness in your own heart. Oh, church, the Lord knows what he's doing. If he leads you to take a stand on things, stand up. But then, you've been in this thing a long time, and I have. I've been preaching for 42 years, and I love good preaching, but I don't get no pulpit and kill somebody just because I had a rough day or because I want to show somebody how good I can preach. I didn't come here to kill nobody. I came here to tell you, you can get in trouble trying to do all that. Well, it's true. You know, it happened. And you can do the same thing in principle. But I can give you a lot of stuff on that, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you something. I think the problem with Peter was Peter's just pure pride. Pride. Am I hollering too loud? I don't mean to. Am I hollering too loud up there, folks? I'm just hollering, shouting. I'm a hollering, shouting preacher. I don't, you know, this is where I am. But pride can do give you a lot of trouble, folks. You know the verses, pride goeth before destruction. He knows the fire, he knows the proud afar off. Only by contention cometh pride. We can give lots of verses on the evils of pride. Pride and proud is mentioned 107 times in the Bible, and every time it's evil. Every time it's talking about evil. Leviathan, which I believe is the devil, is the father of the children of pride. By the way, pride is what got the devil busted himself. That's what got him busted. Y'all with me on this? And pride caused all that stuff. Oh, my goodness, a boxer. A boxer by the name of Tim Quick Tully. He was bad. He whooped everything in his little small area. But he got real, you know, and nobody would fight him. He would just whoop everything. So he got bad, you know, and he said, hey, I done whooped everything here. I'm going to Chicago. He said, I've conquered this place. I'm going to conquer Chicago now. Got him, he had no money. He just had little cardboard suitcases. And he took those suitcases and cardboard, and he stepped off the bus. He stepped out of Chicago, and he set those suitcases down on the ground. He took his fist and he said, Chicago, I come to conquer you with these. Then he reached down and get his suitcases and they were gone. Jumping out there too quick. I wish I could help somebody tonight to think about what I'm saying. Oh, listen, you're liable to lose more than you thought you were going to lose. Pride. I'm right about that. You probably heard it before. I'm going to tell it again about the old proud atheist captain, sea captain on the ship. The old proud captain, this missionary, was on a ship heading to the mission field. And she's sitting on the deck one day, and this old proud captain, he liked to aggravate. You know, the atheists like to aggravate Christians, you know. She said to Joseph, nah, she's sitting on the deck of the ship, sunning herself. Nah, I wish I could have some fruit. He said, oh, yeah, you're a Christian. Why don't you just pray for some fruit and let God bring it to you in the middle of the sea? Then I'll believe you. Well, she says, okay. She said, Lord, bring me some fruit out in the middle of the sea. So She sat back down, leaned back down, took a little nap. He's a smart aleck. He went to this office, and he had some fruit in there. And he came and laid them down right beside her. She woke up. She goes, "Whoa, man, what a blessing. What a blessing. God brought me some fruit in the middle of the sea." He says, "Oh, I brought that." She said, "Wow, two blessings in one. God brought me some fruit in the middle of the sea, and he made the devil bring it to me." Pow! 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 You'll put there so quick and think you something. I wish I had somebody tonight. Am I making, does this make any sense? Jesus said, "Peter." Peter said, I got this. I think he was going to try to cut the guy's head off, but it was just too much of a crowd, you know. It was dark. By the way, you love to cut the wrong head off or something. Like, chill out, brother.
Yeah.
Why don't you pray about it first a little bit? But Jesus came to drink the nastiest, filthiest cup, and he came off of a throne in glory to come to hang on a cross of glory to drink the filthiest cup that was ever drank. And he came on purpose, and he didn't need anybody getting in the way. I believe, don't misunderstand me, I believe in defending when you're right with God and you're in the leadership of the Lord and God blown on it. But sometimes we jump out there so quick we'll run somebody off before we can help them. Mahatma Gandhi, he was kind of a crazy kind of a guy, but he said one time somebody talked him into going to a church service. He was a little Hindu and everything, but said he went there. And you know, in India, they have what you call castes. Anybody familiar with that? Most of us are. You're different levels of life, and you're better than somebody because you're different than this. And they have different castes and certain privileges to certain castes of people. And he went to a church, and they told him because he was Indian and his skin was a little different, they told him he needed to find somebody else, some other place to go. You know what he said? He said, if the church is going to be castes, if they're going to use the caste system, I don't want nothing to do with that either. Somebody help me a little bit on that. Two ships collided right in the middle of a river. The river was pretty wide. People didn't understand what happened. They found out in court. But please don't miss this. It can help you if you listen to it. They found out in court that either captain could have avoided it, but both of them were too proud till it was too late. Several hundred people froze and died and drowned because of some foolish man. Have I got anybody? Now listen, y'all start getting right with each other real quick. I didn't start nothing. I preached a message one time, and I was in West Virginia. I was in West Virginia, and some of you preachers, you've had to preach, and you didn't feel like it. You didn't feel good, but you know it was God's word, and it was good. You was in the will of God, but maybe the devil spiked yourself. That night, I went to preach a message way up there in West Virginia, and the preacher, when I met him, he invited us up there. He was real friendly and warm, but when I got there, it seemed like he was distant, and you just feel like a that kind of a church, you know. I couldn't get nobody to move. And every night, nobody said amen. And you don't have to, but, you know, we're used to that. The way we are, you know. And I preach, and so every night I look at the preacher, and I hope he'd say amen to help me a little bit. And he'd turn his head the other way. And then the message I had, I didn't really feel a great oop, or whatever you call it. But I did know that it was the Lord who wanted me to pray. I knew that. And I preached that message on forgiveness. And nobody moved.
Well,
and I mean, nothing. And it was about this size, packed out house. And I was preaching that thing, and I was feeling, and some of you preachers know that, I felt like I wasn't doing nothing. I felt like it was dropping right there. And when I got down, I felt like I'd failed God. I felt like I'd failed, I don't know why the preacher was mad. I thought he was mad at me. He kept turning his head away from me. And nobody, it's kind of a lonely place when nobody seems to want it. You know what I'm saying? And when I got through, Brother Edward, I went to step down. And my head was hanging down. I thought I fell. I didn't know what was going on. The spirit was so quenched. You've been to services like that. How many know what I'm talking about? As I started to step down, an old lady was sitting in that corner way over there. And I stopped, and then I stopped to watch her. And she walked over. I think I told this here before years ago. She walked over to where this young lady here is. And I just sat there and watched her. Everybody kind of watched her. And she tapped that little girl, that young girl on the shoulder. She goes, the girl wouldn't even turn. So she grabbed her lightly and sweetly. She slowly turned around. She goes, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And they grabbed each other. I didn't know what was going on. And that lady grabbed it and they started sweetening. And believe it or not, somebody from here came over there. This side of the church was mad at this side of the church. And they was at it. And they started getting right with God, right and left. We didn't got to church till 11 o'clock that night. As soon as that preacher goes, wow! What woke him up?
Yeah.
You know what happened?
Yeah.
We'd had a good old-fashioned forgiveness thing in the church nowadays. We might see revival break slap out. Somebody might go home flat out happy. Somebody in the church ought to shout about that. You know how sweet it is when you feel the forgiveness of God? You know how sweet it is when you feel the forgiveness of God? Benjamin Franklin said, pride is the biggest passion that I have to fight and conquer. He said, but I'm afraid if I ever conquered my pride, that I'd be proud of my humility. Well, hey, listen, we need to help folks. You need to be careful. People are tender. Just like you are. You're just like you. Somebody help me a little bit on that one. You say, I ain't tender. That pride right there. I think somebody just shot a dart at me. No, I don't think so. Maybe they smiled. Okay. Thank you. I was really getting nervous about that. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. Peter said, what? No, Lord, should I smite? Last time you smiled off of somebody, did you say, Lord, should I smite with the lip? You know, I was preaching a while back, a message on, you know what we need in the church a lot of times? It's a locked lip revival. I'm going to get in trouble if I get out of here. I know I am. Come here to get in no trouble. Pride turns angels into devils. I wish I had somebody on that one. You said, but I'm a good Christian. Well, good Christians are full of, good Christians have a fleshly side too. You talking about it a while ago. Put off the old, put on the new. I'll wrap it up if you want me to. I got some stuff here, but I don't think I'll go. I just want to say something that might help you tonight. I don't want to get in no trouble. You know, young preacher said to the old preacher, hey, sir. And by the way, the old preacher can put you in your place. That had been through most of it. Young preacher said, pray that I don't get proud. He goes, what do you think you've got to be proud of? But we get at it, don't we, sometimes? Paul said, what do you have that God didn't give you anyway?
Yeah.
Without me, you can do nothing. Pride? Oh, I can give you so much stuff on that. What? Am I all right? A woman said to her pastor, she says, Pastor, I need to confess a sin. He said, well, I'm not a priest or anything, but I'll listen to you. She said, you know, let me do this so I look good.
You know, when I'm in church and I look around at all the other women, I get very proud because I'm the most beautiful woman there. Preacher said, ma'am, your problem is not pride. Your problem is that you're very much mistaken. Pride! Oh, don't you hate it? The last revival when I was preaching in Ohio, I taught the Sunday school first that morning, and the preacher preached, and we went back and forth in the services that week. But I thought, this is a strange thing to start a revival is. I just taught the Sunday school that's on pride. Every preacher that week wound up mentioning that thing and said, you know what, I had to get rid of my pride before we could start this revival. How many of y'all have a revival in your heart? Not with all that pride. Oh, we got it. We got it. This lady said to this preacher, I'll have you know, I heard your message on pride, and I'm not going to swallow all that stuff on pride. He says, you ain't got to swallow it. It's already in you. Well, you don't swallow pride. You spit it out.
How about that?
Yeah. We get it backwards, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you swallow your pride? No. Won't you spit it out?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to hurry up. I just thought I'd tell you the truth a few minutes while I was here. Don't know why a preacher can't tell the truth. I can't give you all this stuff. I know it's Sunday night and you already heard Brother Ed, your good pastor this morning, and probably tired of my craziness. Pride and jumping out there too quick. Did I tell you all about Miss Barker, my second grade teacher? Let me tell you about Miss Barker. They named her right. That old gal could bark. I was scared to death of her. She could just call my name and I start. I was in second grade. But us boys were still mean as all get out sometimes. I didn't get one amen off of that one. Your wife could have said amen or something. But these little boys was playing at the water cooler. Girls were getting a drink of water, and we was being boys. We was throwing water on the girls, little boys, you know. And I'm not, little boys don't do this. Don't tell them the Bible said to do it. Mama just got mad at me, huh? But we was that way back then. It ain't like that no more. You can't do it no more. We was cutting up too much. Let's put that away. And Miss Barker, we got back in the room. Those boys over in the corner laughing about what we'd done, you know, being mean to the girls. Well, Miss Barker walks. She walks in the door there, and as soon as she did, I started. And she leaves the door open, and she's talking to somebody out the door. I said, oh no, somebody's telling on us. Miss Barker's going to kill us. We're going to die. I was not scared of her. She was in the old World War II crowd. I was 1959, I was 7 years old in the second grade. She was from the old World War II, tough people, you know. Somebody said, she turns to me and scared me. She goes, Bobby Drury. Ismael, come here. You know, I have heart troubles. That's what happened.
Okay.
Probably. When I think of Miss Barker, it makes me nervous. You might have to come see me in the hospital again. But I went up there and, hey, I lied like a dog. Miss Barker, I didn't have nothing to do with that. Miss Barker, them other boys, I wasn't saved yet, okay? But there was them other boys. And she goes, Bobby, your brother's here with your lunch money.
Yeah.
Jumping out there.
Yeah.
And on. Watch out. The people you sit next to, they got ears. That hurts.
What about that?
Yeah, oh, God can fix it. But, you know. By the way,
you cut your ear off and they can't hear you. As a preacher.
Oh, yeah. But that's a good what you just said.
Whatever happened to people just like, I'm sorry. I've said that to you a bunch of times. I've had to a bunch of times, haven't I? But I'm a good old boy, ain't I? I'm going 50-50 on that one. But we get a little cocky sometimes. Does anybody here like it, me, on that one? No, raise your hand. Don't just nod your head. Come on now. I'm feeling kind of lonely. I'm feeling kind of bad about it. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe y'all don't know. Maybe you don't ever have pride. But you know good and well I'm right. If you'd spit it out every now and then. No, you've got to swallow it. You eat up with it now. Your flesh ain't no better than mine. And it didn't get saved either, by the way. Your soul did. The new man. That old man. It's all about me. Self-worship. I could go on and on. The bullfighter. The bullfighters. You know, they... Toro, 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 Toro. You should have got a picture of that. Toro, Toro. And he's 21 years old. Then when they get through, they take the sword. You know, y'all know the story. Ain't you bad? I'm bad. You know, the bull goes down. 21 year old, famous bullfighter, most famous in the land. He took the bull down with a sword. He turned to the audience, receiving his accolations. What do you call it? Is that a good word? Accolations, is that right?
Yep.
Receiving all, oh, he praised me. Oh, yeah. And that bull went all the way dead. That joker came up, straight through the back, straight through his heart with a horn. Pride. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Pride will sneak up on you. And you think you've got it beat. You wake up the next morning, that joker's sleeping right next to you. I don't mean that. I'm going to keep messing around now. I better shut up. I'm trying to help you this morning, but tonight, see, you don't got me mixed up on my days. You'll wear me out tonight on this one. I'm trying to preach to you about my own pride and trying to convince y'all that y'all got it too. Y'all know I'm right. Thank you, preacher. I got some more, but I'm not gonna bore. I don't want to bore you to death, preacher. I'm through. Thank you. Oh, you.